Genesis chapter 28. First book of the Bible, page 30. Let's hear God's word. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he had reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abram, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. May the Lord bless to us this reading. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be poured out upon us now. For these moments, may you enter our hearts, minds, and thoughts. Speak directly to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn with me just a few chapters over. Chapter 32. If the first was a conversation with us in the sense about the promises that God had made to Jacob, it was more a conversation with God, about God, and to those that were listening, namely himself. But he then experiences a time of prayer because he meets Esau, and he's concerned about the encounter that he's going to have with Esau. Verse 9 of 32. Then Jacob prayed, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all your kindness, of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and will make your descendants like the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted. And then on to verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. And after he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." And Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Amen. May God bless to us reading of his word. It's amazing how blessings and battle come almost hand in hand. You begin with such an elevated promise that was made to Jacob. And I'm sure for a moment he basked in the glory of that promise that was made. God is good, God is faithful, God is gracious, God is kind, God is going to prosper. We're going to be blessed like no other nation. I'm going to be blessed like no other individual. This is going to be a happy time, a great time for me personally and for that of the nation. And those are the sort of prophecies, those are the sort of moments that we cling on to because it's natural. In our state of brokenness, we want a God who will fix almost everything, if not everything itself. And he made a promise to him, and I'm sure he grasped it with both hands. But the reality of life was that in a few moments, he was going to be in the heat of another conflict. Relationships that had broken down. The relationship between himself and Esau had now become exceptionally complex. Two nations. And Esau himself had designs upon Jacob in the sense that he didn't like the idea of God's blessing him. And therefore he came under threat. And he was concerned about that. And that's why the promise gave way to a prayer in chapter 32. He acknowledges, "I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two groups. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau. For I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children." He was concerned not only about himself, but those around him, his closest family. This was a very genuine concern and a very real threat. Yet God had made a vow to him saying, or he had made a, Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me." Now that was in response to what God had said in verse 15 of chapter 28. "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." Yet even in that vow that he makes, Jacob recognizes that there is a slight doubt that is mixed in with his faith. If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking. Now, it's not that he doubted that God was not faithful to his promise, but he recognized that in life you have adversity and trials and difficulties, and that he would struggle as a human being in the light of God's promise. There would be things that would rock his faith. There would be moments that would act as a complete and utter challenge to his walk with God. And it wasn't long until he faced a very significant one in his own brother Esau. But he held on to the promise. And he said, "Save me, I pray. Save me, I pray. For I am afraid he will come and attack me. Save me, I pray." But he knew God would. But he needed to show his vulnerability. He needed to recognize that salvation only came in dependence upon God. Humanly speaking, he could not cope with Esau. He needed God's assistance. He needed the realization of God's promise at that moment, that God would not forsake him, that God would protect him. And that's what God has promised each one of us, that he will watch over us. That doesn't mean that life will be easy. It doesn't mean that we will not face significant challenges. It doesn't mean that we won't at times be afraid, or that we will begin to wobble slightly in dependence upon him. But it does reassure us that God will remain faithful to his promises. And he wants us to respond in faith. To recognize that we have a deep need of God as our protector. And he will shield us with his wings. He will watch over us with an alert eye. The God who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is ever vigilant. And he is ever faithful. And for each one of us here today, God has issued a promise of protection. Esau was coming after Jacob. Jacob needed to depend upon God, and he prayed, "Lord, save me." Maybe that's what you're praying here this morning. Maybe there are complexities, difficulties in your life. Maybe there are moments of trial and temptation, and you've cried out numerous times, "Lord, save me." And you think God isn't listening. And you think that in some way that he has lost interest in you. He hasn't. He is ever faithful and he's ever present. And no matter how dark the night gets, no matter how difficult it becomes for you, God will not waver in his promise. God will not forsake you. He will always be vigilant, always watchful. He will always seek to protect you. And when you cry out, "Save me," he is listening to you. And he will be there for you. But I find, and for a few moments this morning, what I want to concentrate on is that to receive a real blessing, you go through real battles. It's not the absence of the battles bring a blessing. It's finding God in the battle that brings the true blessing. I don't think for a moment Jacob would have thought that the blessing included Peniel. I don't think for one moment that Jacob ever imagined there would be a night that he would fight until daybreak. That he would have to wrestle. That he would be pushed to the very limits of his human energies and efforts. This was a confrontation with someone that he didn't know, but he engaged the whole night long, and I'm sure there are times in the heat of that battle he felt like giving up. It was a one-on-one situation. There was no one there to assist him. He was there on his own. It's like a boxing match. Thousands of people might be watching, but there's only two people in the ring. As the eyes look upon you, you're up against your opponent. There are times when you are under pressure, when you're on the ropes, and you're being hit hard. And at that moment, you have a choice to make, and it's a real choice that's in your mind. Do you go down or do you stay up? Do you look to quit or do you carry on? And in that battle, The person who is fighting you doesn't know that that's the conflict going on in your mind and heart. He may even be hitting you at will. He is not letting up because he doesn't know your state of mind. Each thud rains in upon you, and he is unaware of the damage that it is causing you, but you are aware of it. And you can be under extreme pressure. Do I let this continue, or does it stop here right now? But for those who are in that situation, sometimes in the heat of battle, you call on reserves that you didn't know you possessed. You muster up courage that you didn't think you had. You continue on in the heat of battle because of one thing and one thing only. You want to win. You want to be the victor. You want to be that person that the referee holds your arm aloft at the end of the fight. You want to collect that medal. You want to win that prize. And it will be that and that only that keeps you on your feet. Once you give up the thought of the prize, you hit the canvas or you look for the towel. You do not want to return to the ring from the corner because you no longer have anything left. But those that are seeking the prize, they get off their stool. And when Jacob was in the heat of that battle, he kept in there. He kept fighting. He was not going to be overpowered by this person. And he didn't know who this person was. But he was going to emerge victorious. And what was the reason for it? It's quite clear. And Jacob outlines to us the reason itself. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that the hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Even with this hip, I won't stop until you bless me. It could have finished me, but it didn't. I will wrestle with you until you bless me. Is that what you pray to God? In the heat of battle, deliver me or bless me. Because they're two different things. He didn't say deliver, he said blessed. You need to impart something to me here. I need to have a blessing from you. I'm not even asking for this battle to end right now, but I'm asking it to end when there's a blessing. When you have given me something. Because I haven't fought you all night to leave empty. I haven't been engaged in this battle for nothing. I want to derive some benefit from this battle. And a theme translates into our Christian experience. There are battles we go through in life. Do you think God doesn't know it? There are things that we have to confront because of the brokenness of this world. Do you think God's not aware of it? And the natural propensity of each one of us is to be delivered because we don't want to face the hardship. We don't want to face the hard moments. We don't want to have to go through the darkness. We don't want to engage in the battles because they zap every moment of strength we possess. Every ounce of energy gets depleted in the heat of battle. Our natural instinct cries out, "Deliver me," when Jacob said, "Bless me." And the blessing came in a way that he didn't even recognize initially. And what was it that the blessing was? It was a realization. And the man himself declared it. When the man saw that he could not overpower him. He touched Jacob's hip or socket. And then verse 28. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with man and have overcome." You've struggled with God and you've struggled with man and you've overcome. You haven't given up. You've stayed the course. You fought the fight. You stayed in the battle. Even at times when you felt like going down, even at times when you felt like giving in, you stayed with it, Jacob. Your faith in me at that point was supreme. And I did something that you might not have thanked me for initially. I touched your hip. I touched your hip. You walk with a limp. Now, do you want delivered from that too? Because I don't want you to be. Why? And what makes the difference? Jacob saw the limp as a blessing. That was a curse. He saw the limp as God's presence, not his desertion. His faithfulness, not his failure. The rest of his life, he would walk with a limp and bless God. Because God had blessed him. Because it would remind him of that moment when he fought all night. It will remind him of that moment when God declared that in the wrestling he was not overpowered. That he did not give in. That he did not give up. And that man could not even overpower Jacob at that point. That he would be an overcomer, no matter how difficult the trial would become. That he bore an injury as a result of the fight that night, but he blessed God. And what makes the difference? Some of us limp with bitterness, some of us limp with blessing. We see everything that happens to us as some sort of desertion from God. We look at our condition, our situation, our battle scars. And we do not see them as signs of God's prospering of us, but we see them as signs of conflict. But not for Jacob. Because that night he met, what was it? God. Face to face, he says. He met God face to face. Those are the words that are used. And for him, no limp would be taken away. Because every time he limped, he remembered that he saw that night God face to face. He had an encounter with God that meant the world to him. He had an encounter with God that became his greatest blessing, even in battle. An encounter with God that would remind him that he had the capacity never to give up, no matter how dark it got, because God was with him. That was a blessing. And if it meant a limp, in order to remind him of it, he would accept that as a blessing from God. He was not bitter about it. He was not resentful about it. He saw it as an opportunity to be grateful to God that he had survived that night. Because he had seen God face to face, and he had met him, and he had had an encounter with him. And I'll tell you this. The truth is, every battle you face, you get a scar. It could be an emotional one, it could be a physical one, it could be anything at all. In our state of brokenness, we carry our scars of battle in the Christian life. But it matters how we recall them. Our perspective on them. What did God teach us in those moments? What did we learn about Him? What did we learn even about ourselves? Did that moment bring us closer to God? Did we sense Him in prayer in a way that we never had before? Were there moments that He carried us when we could not stand? Were there moments where His presence was so tangible, even in that dark moment, that dark place, that it was as if we could reach out and touch Him? Those are penal moments. Those are moments with a limp. Of where we walk away from it different than we went into it, and we carry some of the scars of battle. But when we look back on it, we say, God, those are scars worth carrying. Because in those moments, I found your presence in a way that I never could have done outside of that. I had a blessing that no one else ever had. And even though I carry this with me, I'll carry it until I'm made perfect. I'll carry it until I go to heaven. I'll carry it until I see you face to face, because it's another reminder of the God that walked with me and how gracious and great that God is. What about you today? Are you carrying the blessings? Or are you carrying the bitterness? What is your scar that takes you back to a place that you anoint with oil as a place of God's blessing? I talk about sanctifying memories because I think we need to. Instead of recalling our memories to fertilize the hurt and pain of those moments, let's baptize them. Let's sanctify them. Look at how God was in that moment, what he taught us through it. And as a result of that, even that limp can bring a blessing as we look back on the God of grace who carries us in the heat of battle. Let us pray. Lord, in these moments, may we find that grace is indeed sufficient for us. And like Paul the Apostle said, he learned, God's grace is sufficient for me. And in Jacob's prayer, he found a blessing. And so must we.